So I don't know if you've noticed, but during the season of Lent, we're hearing there's usually four scriptures. We usually choose, you know, about two, but during the season of Lent, I said, well, they can endure hearing all four scriptures. So that's what we're doing the season of Lent. And today is Psalm 27. It's my favorite psalm. So that's what we'll be preaching about for today. I'm going to read it for you again. And as I read it, I want you to see if you can see the places where it speaks of faith and where it speaks of fear. So hear these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Waiting is hard to do, isn't it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Clint McCann is a biblical scholar at Eden Seminary, and he is one of the leading theologians writing about the Psalms, and he writes about this particular psalm, and he says that the opening line captures and summarizes the entire psalm, challenging us to make the choice between faith and fear. Either we make the faith choice, seeing God as our salvation and light, or we make the fear choice, looking for the answer, whom shall I fear? Fear. We all have fears. We have all endured fears in our lives because we are vulnerable to physical illnesses, emotional distress, relation breakdowns, economic stresses, spiritual crises. We have these quick meltdowns in our lives because of the fears. But if we make the faith choice, our future looks very differently. We aren't as vulnerable if we put our trust in God and we discover that God is our light, that God is our salvation, that God is the stronghold of our life. The goal is that we put faith and trust in God and not just ourselves. This is the only place in the Old Testament where God here is referred to as my light. We live in God's light. We are living in God's presence. God's faith shines upon us. It is the light that moves us forward, that gives us hope. When we choose faith over fear, we receive the assurance of God's presence in our lives. And then the psalm talks about hiding places. And when it mentioned about hiding places, God will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, conceal me under the cover of a rock, set me high on a rock, the cover of a tent. I thought about those hiding places that we have in our lives? Do you have hiding places in our lives where we find that God shelters us? It could be a beach that we walk along and we see the water roll upon the sand and to go back out. Some of us may feel God's presence, God's light, God's hope, God's trust. It may be hiking up a mountain where we can just reach out to the stars and feel God's presence in our lives. It could be in a cemetery. It could be in a garden. It could be a memory. It could be a music piece, a special story, a place that is real. A couple of weeks ago, we had the memorial garden redone, and the weather broke, and so I've spent time out in the memorial garden this week, reflecting on my life and ministry and that of our church. And it is there in that quiet place when I don't hear the sirens and the cars going by that I feel God's face and God's light shining on my life. God calls us not to fear, but to have faith and to have hope. I was thinking on the 150th anniversary of the United Methodist Women about how women were so important in my early life, in my formative years. I've mentioned to you many times growing up in an alcoholic home, it wasn't fun. It was very hard. It was hard to find hope living in that kind of household. But we went to church every week, and it was those women in that church that formed me and shaped me into the person that stands before you here today. I went home to my home church, and they have a museum room, and I hope we never have a museum room. When you say you have a museum room, it means that, you know, you're ready to shut down. A museum room? But I went in the museum room, and there was on the wall a poster, a little certificate. It was the charter certificate of the United Methodist Women of Trinity United Methodist Church in October 21st, 1968, and the president, Mrs. Thomas W. Kirkland, my mother, she was 40 years old, was the president of this group of then 127 women. And I've told you before, I can remember her coming home, I was 10. She'd come in and complain that everyone thought the world was going to come to an end because they had changed their name from the Women's Society of Christian Service to United Methodist Women. They thought, no one will come to United Methodist Women. And here are these names of these women. Miss Daisy Wilson, she taught me in Sunday school. Miss Dobie, she would fuss at me when I didn't look right, didn't dress right. Mrs. Sayers, Mrs. Ash Wiley, she got me in the kids' choir. Mrs. George Percival, she was our missions woman. She's the one who molded our church that kept us on track with the role of the church as missions. And then I can remember the time that I graduated from high school, 1976. And there was this group of women, they called me and they said, David, can you come to us? And I said, sure, and I went there. And they gave me a $25 savings bond. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You know, I was, 17, 18 years old. And I was a divinity school student, 1988. And I cashed that savings bond. I remember going to the bank. It was Wachovia Bank in Durham, North Carolina. I took that savings bond in, and I cashed it for $31. And I took it to the bursar's office at Duke University to pay my first bill. Those women were there for me financially. And they wrote me this little poem that I want to read for you. It says, to Davy. That's what they knew me as, to Davy. It goes like this. Congratulations and good luck to you as you end your high school days. We think that you have done so much and deserve our highest praise. We appreciate all the work you do for Trinity and for us. You've started so many worthwhile things that we think you're just A+. So now we give you this small gift to show you that we care. And thank you just for being you without so much fanfare. We hope that you will be with us for many years to be, so you can spend this usefully or just for fun, you see. So, you know, this helped take care of the bill that I had. And then I remember when I was at Asbury Church in Harrisonburg, there was a quilter there, Judy Boyd. Judy Boyd has since gone to heaven, and she made me this quilt. And this is United Methodist Women's sign. And the United Methodist Women have done wonderful work. I've been so impressed with the work of the women here. You know, it used to be what the women did was they would furnish the parsonages. That was a big deal for United Methodist, for the women. And, you know, I can remember growing up at the church we were, they wanted to put new wallpaper in the parsonage, and there was just all these fusses about what kind of wallpaper do we wallpaper or not? Do we paint? What kind of wallpaper do we get? I was in a church where the women furnished the sanctuary, and so they kind of had people, they said, let us know what kind of color you would like the sanctuary wall to be. And everybody brought a paint can, and there was a whole wall of just different swatches of paint. It was the biggest mess in the world. But what's great about the United Methodist women here is they give to missions. They help spread the gospel through their generosity. And that's what the church is for. To let others and all know the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.